Hello and welcome to this edition of TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Tommy Patterson, for this series, Microsoft Azure Loves Open Source. Today's episode, Big Data Solutions, implementing big data solutions with Hadoop on Microsoft Azure. Join me today, Keith Mayer, the legend. How are you, Keith?
Hi, Tommy. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. So, you know, I come from a background of virtualization and cloud, evangelist for the Southeast. I speak at events around cloud and that kind of thing. We hear a lot around base uses of Azure or cloud computing, like virtual machines, and then web apps, like we talked about, MySQL databases, like we talked about, all types of data. Tell us a little bit about you and your history, and then kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so similarly, I'm a senior technical evangelist for the Microsoft Azure platform as well at Microsoft. I tend to work with ISV partners that are building solutions in the cloud. So I help advise them on architectural guidance, best practices, help them produce a sound technical architecture for their solution on the Azure Cloud platform. And then similar to you, prior to that, I was focused on infrastructure, data center, virtualization, large distributed application deployment projects for the bulk of my career, over 20 years as a consultant, an IT consultant out in the field working with our customers directly.
Great. All right. So let's just kind of wrap up what we've done on the series so far. We talked about virtual machines running Linux in Azure. Then we had episode 2. We talked about we talked about the basics of open source in Azure in episode 1, and then we talked about virtual machine running in Azure. Then we talked about MySQL databases.
Mm-hmm.
We just wrapped up the episode on web apps, which was focused on Node.js, but pretty much any web app, open source web app that we support runs pretty similar to what I showed.
Yeah.
So today we're going through, and we're going to talk about big data solutions. There's a ton of interest around this and multiple ways to do it.
Yeah, agreed. You know, organizations, I think they certainly have a knack for producing large volumes of data, whether it's data from line of business applications that users are using, whether it's data from logs that application servers or web servers are producing. A lot of our customers that are starting to move towards the Internet of Things device strategy for instrumenting devices in the field, certainly right, collecting, you know, huge amounts of data that could represent terabytes or in some cases even petabytes of storage. And it's funny because IT used to view managing these large volumes of data as somewhat of a chore. Right. But more and more, the organizations I work with, they're beginning to see it as an enabler for new types of solutions because they've realized that, hey, we're collecting all this data that no one's really looking at, but it's got some really useful information in it that if we can amass and aggregate and reduce down to a usable amount of data for analysis, we can capitalize on that for more advanced analytics than we're providing today, or in some cases even feed it into systems that can provide predictive analytics like machine learning. So yeah, big data, definitely a huge interest. Particularly in the cloud, where IT can tap into nearly unlimited capacity from a storage and compute standpoint to process big data.
Yep. One of the latest episodes I did on TechNet Radio was with Microsoft internal IT, and we were in the topic was why you need to federate your company's data now. And yep. Federation of data is something that a lot of companies, if you aren't thinking about it right now, by the time you get 3 years down the road, if you're not keeping the critical data that you need to be putting together, you may miss your edge on your opponents or your competition. So real big deal. And then at Microsoft, we're so centric on relational database with Microsoft SQL. Right. That may not be the answer for everything, right?
Yeah, agreed. You know, particularly when you think about these mass quantities of raw data that are coming in from the different places we were just talking about, it's not really highly structured data in many cases. It's kind of in a raw format, and so it's not very well tuned to putting into a relational database that's really, you know, relational databases are great for structured data that line of business applications need, where you have very tight controls over how that data is formed and how that data is entered and stored. When you're talking about analyzing raw data, it can be a real challenge. And, you know, over the past several years, The open source community has really rallied around this area and around open source solutions like the Hadoop framework and supporting technologies for being able to work with big data, reduce it down to something that's more easily analyzed, and then expose it in a variety of ways, whether it's through a tool like Excel that everybody's used to for doing basic data analysis, or if it's through a SQL interface or through a programming language like MapReduce or whatnot in the Hadoop ecosystem.
Very, very cool. So in Azure, we have the ability to run Hadoop in, say, multiple Linux VMs.
Sure.
And that helps reduce the cost that you might have seen if you did it on-prem yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people aren't set up for that on-prem. Plus, there's other ways to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and in terms of running Hadoop inside VMs, you know, our Azure Marketplace team has worked really closely with some of the big names in Hadoop, the Hadoop ecosystem, Hortonworks and Cloudera, to produce templates that are available in the marketplace. So anyone that has an Azure subscription, you can go out to the Azure Marketplace and very easily spin up a multi-VM cluster environment running either Hortonworks or Cloudera's Hadoop stack, right? And so that makes it really easy to provision. But you're right, it's VM-based, right? And you may need the level of customization that VMs provide, but because it is VM-based, it still requires management and patching and ongoing administration of the OS and whatnot that runs inside of those VMs. So in addition to that solution, a VM-based approach to running Hadoop, our Azure teams also worked with our joint partnership with Hortonworks to produce a platform service for offering Hadoop called HD Insight that allows us to spin up more of a managed Hadoop cluster environment where we're abstracted away from having to manage the underlying operating system and Hadoop stack, but still have some balance of being able to get into that Hadoop cluster if we have specific scripts or whatnot that we're used to running on Hadoop in our environment that we're moving to the cloud, still have that level of control.
That's great, Keith, because a lot of the customers I'm talking to, they're looking for that flexibility and the depth of data analysis that you can do with, say, Hadoop, but they're not necessarily looking for managing another group of VMs or OSs that they're not familiar with. So,
yeah.
Very cool. So I guess kind of, you know, take us from here. Where are we headed from here with Insight?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So with HD Insight, you know, that's really where HD Insight addresses. That's the key scenario of being able to provide scale-out big data processing capacity with either a Windows or Linux underneath the covers based environment, so that if you have particular Hadoop scripts that are based in Linux or in Windows, you can still leverage those scripts and that code and whatnot and MapReduce programs and all that good stuff, even if you're using HD Insight. But to eliminate that complexity of managing an HD Insight cluster on an ongoing basis makes it really simple to spin up. And it's important because some Hadoop clusters can be dozens of nodes in size. So we're not generally talking about just a small number of VMs. We're generally talking about some relatively sizable investments in Hadoop clusters. So anything we can do on the platform service side with technologies like HD Insight really can help to substantially reduce that ongoing operational effort around maintaining our environment.
That's great. So it's faster, faster for production purposes to get going. But are there any other benefits to, say, HD Insight versus doing a traditional Hadoop cluster yourself?
Yeah, there sure are. You know, one of the common use cases that a lot of organizations start with for Hadoop is taking a large amount of data, a vast amount of data, and then reducing that down and aggregating it into a smaller amount of data that can be more easily analyzed for business results, business value. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of cases when organizations are running Hadoop, they have kind of almost like a batch processing mode where they're bringing in data, reducing it down, aggregating it, and letting that data that's been aggregated kind of sit there for consumption by other tools like Excel or Power BI or Tableau or whatnot that can bring that aggregated data in and analyze it. And the challenge with that is that everybody knows in the cloud, compute versus storage, compute is a huge cost, right? Versus storage, which is a relatively meager cost compared to compute. And so in order to do that kind of batch processing and still make the data accessible, in a traditional VM-based Hadoop cluster, you need to leave your Hadoop cluster running full time, because Hadoop uses a distributed file system called HDFS that's only available when your cluster nodes are running. With HD Insight, what our engineering team has done is they've actually baked HD Insight's Hadoop nodes on top of Azure Blob Storage. And so as a result, you can spin up an HD Insight cluster, do your batch processing of that data to aggregate and reduce it down to a more manageable format, spit it back out to Azure Storage, and then shut down the compute nodes when you're just consuming that data. So that for consuming the data, which is probably, you know, in those scenarios, 70, 80% of the time, you're just paying the small storage costs instead of having to keep running those compute nodes on an ongoing basis. So much lower costs for certain Hadoop scenarios. We're seeing a lot of interest around that with HD Insight.
Very, very cool. So I know we don't have a lot of time today. Do we have time for a demo?
Yeah. Let's go over to our lab and we'll walk through a couple scenarios with Hadoop together, with HD Insight, and take a look at the various options together.
Awesome. Let's see it.
Hey, Tommy. So here we are over in our lab, and up on one of our lab machines, we've got the new Azure Preview Portal. And I brought this up because one of the options that we talked about for provisioning Hadoop on Azure was using a VM-based approach as one of the options. And so in the Preview Portal, as we log in, we can go over to the new button to provision new virtual machines, new compute workloads, and then drill over into the marketplace. And in addition to the standard Microsoft platform images, you'll see we've got a couple different Hadoop offerings that partners have published to make it super easy to initially provision a VM-based Hadoop cluster. We've got an offering from Cloudera for Cloudera Enterprise, and also from Hortonworks. And as you drill into those offerings, it will bring up details around that particular offering and actually allow you to step right into the VM creation process and provision multiple virtual machines that are all part of a common cluster. So it's a pretty cool solution for being able to easily provision a rather complex configuration, right, with several compute and data nodes that are all part of that Hadoop installation.
So something like this on-prem would take weeks to
days.
Set up?
Yeah, days to weeks. Yeah, definitely. Whereas now it's taking hours. So we've got it down to hours so far with a VM-based approach. Now the next step is, let's see how we can get it down to minutes, right? For producing a Hadoop cluster. And that's where HD Insight, our platform as a service Hadoop offering, comes into play. So I'm just going to close this screen and go over to our production portal where we can provision and manage HD Insight Hadoop clusters. And so over in our production portal, I'm on our all items page, and you'll see I've got a number of different resources, virtual machines, storage accounts and whatnot that are already provisioned. As we scroll down our left sidebar, our blue sidebar area here, you'll see HD Insight as one of our choices that we can select. And when we do that, it'll switch over to a details page that shows just the HD Insight resources, HD Insight clusters that we've already provisioned. And you'll see I've already got a couple clusters provisioned. I've got one that's based on Windows Server as the underlying OS, and one that's based on Linux as the underlying OS. So with HD Insight, we provide both of those options to provide compatibility with other tools that customers may already be running in their on-prem Hadoop environments as they migrate those environments over to the cloud. Now, to set up these clusters was super easy. All I need to do is go down to the lower left-hand corner, click on the New button, and select Data Services. And then under Data Services, we'll see our options around Big Data Analysis listed as HD Insight. And you'll see a couple different HD Insight offerings that are available. We've got a base Hadoop cluster offering that allows you to quickly set up a base Hadoop cluster with MapReduce support and Hive support and Pig support, all the basic tools for doing data aggregation and reduction and kind of that batch process that we talked about a little earlier. But we also have a couple other configurations. You can spin up an HBase configuration. So if you're looking to build a kind of a NoSQL database structure on top of Hadoop, HBase is a great solution for that. We've got Storm support. So if you're working more with streaming data, We talked a little bit earlier about organizations that are starting to move down that Internet of Things path and having all kinds of data coming in streaming. That's where Storm is positioned. Okay. And then we also have a new offering of offering a Hadoop cluster on Linux. So the first Hadoop choice is provisioning HD Insight Hadoop clusters on the Windows operating system underneath the covers, whereas this new offering is based on Linux. So if we select our particular offering that we want to provision, it's going to ask us just a few pieces of information. It's going to ask us to name our cluster. We have to give it a unique name. It's going to ask us for the cluster size. We can start off anywhere from 1 to 8 data nodes on a Linux-based cluster. We can always increase it down the road if we needed 10, 12, 16, 20 or more different nodes in our cluster. And it's going to ask us for username and password for our administrative accounts, and then a storage account that the HD Insight cluster is going to be built on top of. So that, remember, HD Insight is designed on the aspect of using Azure, standard Azure storage as its persistent file system structure. So even if the HD Insight nodes are shut off, even the cluster's turned down, anything that you've written out to that blob storage location is still going to be accessible.
So would you say that this will be something you look at using premium storage, or we haven't really talked about that in detail, but
yeah, no, just normal blob storage, really, because the power of Hadoop is scaling out to across many data nodes. So the actual performance and throughput of any one data node is just a component of that overall cluster configuration. When you do reduction and map reduce jobs and aggregation of data and querying of that data, it fans that out across your data nodes to take advantage of the aggregate capacity that your entire cluster has. So yeah, just standard Azure storage is fine.
Yeah. Well, I noticed one thing too, that cluster size went up to 8 nodes here, but are you saying that once you've deployed, you can actually up that number later?
Yep, you sure can. Through the CLI that's available as our Azure cross-platform CLI, or if you're in kind of a mixed Windows and Linux shop and you like PowerShell as your preferred choice, you can also do it through our PowerShell CLI as well.
Excellent. Very cool.
Yep. So I'm not going to provision a cluster. It does take about 10 minutes or so to get the cluster up and running. 10 whole minutes versus multiple days and weeks of time, right, provisioning a normal cluster. Once it's up and running, though, I'm just going to drill into my Linux-based cluster, into the details of that. And you'll see that we have access to some basic information over on our dashboard page that we can use for connecting into this Linux cluster. So it's a Hadoop Linux cluster, and you just like you'd expect to have certain things pre-installed like Hive and Pig and Yarn support for monitoring and managing it. It's all pre-installed, and you'll see on our dashboard page that we've got our SSH details for logging into our cluster. So just like a normal Linux environment, I can go ahead and open up my SSH client. I'm using PuTTY here. I can log in as my administrative user and password and get to my normal bash prompt and be able to customize this environment that I'm running on Hadoop and interact with it directly, just like I would if I was running a normal VM-based Hadoop cluster. So if I wanted to see what was pre-installed for me automatically in that 10 minutes or so that my cluster was spinning up with the multiple data nodes, I can just change over to the user HTTP current folder. And if I do an ls over there, you'll see that it's not just the Linux OS itself, but it's the HDFS file system support, MapReduce support. We've got Hive support for querying against the data that Hadoop is managing for us. We've got the ability to have Storm and Scoop support and Pig support for doing different types of analyses across that data. And we've got Yarn support for being able to manage and monitor that cluster. So just like you'd expect on a normal Hadoop cluster, you can go ahead and drop into Hive, and it'll take a few moments for Hive to spin up and do some live querying against the Hadoop data, right, that you've pushed out to HD Insight. So in a moment here, I'll get the Hive prompt, and from the Hive prompt, I can go ahead and ask it to show me my Hive tables, so I can do a show tables command, just like I would on a normal Linux environment. I've got a sample table that's out there, and if I wanted to see the structure of that sample table, I can do a describe on it, and I say describe Hive sample table. you know, showing me the various columns, so client ID, query time, market, state, country, and whatnot. Now, keep in mind, this is all raw data. This isn't sitting in a SQL table someplace. It's just raw kind of unstructured or semi-structured data that we've brought into Hive and formulating as a table structure on the fly, if you will. And then I can run a select query against that, similar to what I might do in a SQL relational database, right? So I can say select from star from Hive sample table, and maybe do a where clause to say where state equals, why don't we look for maybe Texas? Got a lot of friends in Texas, so we'll go ahead and enter that in. And it's going to go out and basically behind the scenes, what Hive's doing is it's running through a MapReduce engine to process this raw data, return it back in a kind of a SQL-like format that I can then use Hive to interrogate. So commonly what I might do is have Hive be part of my process for bringing in and aggregating the data and then spitting it out into a file structure on Azure Storage that I can then later analyze when my cluster is down using other tools to bring that in and do visualizations off of it and whatnot. So we've looked a little bit at being able to interact with HD Insight right through a CLI, through an SSH session. But if we drop back over to the portal, for instance, we do also have a graphical interface for being able to do some of that same support. So if I drill into one of my HD Insight clusters, I'll just go into my first cluster here, my HDI cluster. You'll see that in that HDI cluster, when I drill into the properties, it'll come up to its dashboard page. And on the dashboard page, we've got the ability to, if I click on dashboard here, down at the bottom, to open up a query console. So we'll see down at the bottom here, a query console button. So once my page refreshes in just a moment, and that query console allows me to be able to drop over, and actually I've got it open already over here, to my getting started query console. And what that gives me is sort of a graphical web-based interface for getting started with HD Insight as well. So this will, even if I'm not, maybe I'm not running on the Linux base, maybe I'm running on the Windows base for the Hadoop open source stack with HD Insight, this gives me a really easy way of getting started. It also gives me support for a Hive editor that I can use as a basic query editor for submitting my queries. It allows me to see job history. It allows me to drop into a file browser. So let's go ahead and click on the Hive editor. And we'll see on our Hive editor screen a lot of the same capabilities that we had for submitting our query from within Hive manually, from in the CLI. We can also just enter here, submit, and it'll run as a background job and actually spit that out into Azure Blob Storage for later analysis. So you can kind of pick and choose the level of tooling that you'd like, whether it's directly through the CLI, if you're more comfortable there, whether it's through more of a GUI interface in your browser, you can certainly do that as well. And then one of the other browser interfaces that's available for the Linux-based HD Insight clusters is full support for Ambari as a stack for being able to manage and monitor your HD Insight cluster. So it allows you to see the stats around HDFS and MapReduce and Yarn and Hive and Pig and all of the various elements and be able to drill in to the performance of them. And also, by clicking on any of these links, get into the configuration and be able to fine-tune those. Again, without having to necessarily drop down to a CLI, a more user-friendly web-based interface. So all included when we in those few minutes that we're provisioning our HD Insight cluster. Very now we met. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do we have an idea of what, say, spinning this up for an hour would cost?
Definitely. So it's based on the number of cores that you're running, right? So if you go out to the Azure pricing page, it will give you a sizing for an HD Insight cluster that ties back to pricing based on the number of nodes that you're running in your HD Insight cluster. So you can do some what-if games out on the pricing page and be able to determine the estimated costs for running it. Now, keep in mind that if you're doing that batch workload, right, where you're doing data analysis, aggregation, reduction, and then you're shutting it down, the actual costs that you see on the pricing calculator page are for running that all month long, and it may only be 20 or 30% of that overall cost based on the time that you actually have your compute and data nodes provisioned for your cluster.
Wow, that's really taking down the cost.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, we mentioned that HD Insight is storing all of its data through an HDFS interface that's available. It's storing it all down in Azure Storage, right? So if we drill into our Azure Storage accounts in the Azure Management Portal, I'll just go ahead and click there. And then once our list of storage accounts initializes, we'll drill into the storage account that we're using for our HD Insight clusters.
Mm-hmm. And so this gets into, I alluded to earlier, you could have premium storage or you could have standard storage, where we get into, you know, IOPS differences. But in this particular case, because there's so many nodes that are bringing that data in and churning it, not as big a deal.
Yep, so, exactly. Because you're scaling out instead of scaling up.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And yep. And what I was observing is, it seems that what they've done with building out this type of high performance computing from a past SQL life that we're all used to, it feels a lot like you're still running the regular SQL query commands that are on a relational database. So it's not much different.
Well, and that's provided through that Hive interface, right? So, I mean, you certainly could use Pig or MapReduce directly and get closer to the raw code that's running behind the scenes for doing your data analysis, your data reductions and aggregations. But what Hive is doing for you is it's taking a SQL-like language, allowing you to input that, and then it's generating sort of MapReduce programs behind the scenes that it's running for you and then returning the results. So it's almost like a translator, right, for query languages.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yep,
like
yep.
A middleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So it's very powerful from that standpoint. Yeah, and so now we're in our storage account that our HD Insight clusters are both using, and you'll see that what it ends up doing is it creates a container for each of your HD Insight clusters. So here's my Linux cluster, there's my Windows cluster container. And if we drill into the properties of one of those containers, like our Linux container, what we'll see effectively is sort of a file system structure that HD Insight cluster is using for shared storage across all of your HD Insight nodes. And so you'll see this entire structure here is actually what's being represented and projected back through your HD Insight cluster so that you have access to this data, whether that cluster is up and running or not, because you can access it directly through Azure Storage. Does that make sense?
Quite. It's very, very impressive. It seems well thought out. I'm still impressed on how fast you spun that up. 10 minutes is impressive. So we can spend a lot more time actually digging into data and providing those layers of visibility to the end users that have been asking for it for a long time, instead of spending so much time, you know, actually tightening in servers into racks and trying to spin up all the different OSs and managing all the applications that have to be installed. Very fast, lots of flexibility, and very powerful.
Great. Awesome.
That was great, Keith. I can think of tons of different applications we could be doing with this. I saw when you started talking about Storm, the first thing I thought of was election poll results. If we could get that tied in, so, you know, watching those hour by hour, showing up which state goes red or blue or whatever they're going to turn into be, you know, we could make that really fast. And spend a lot less money, but we'll see if they get there. So a lot of good stuff today, a lot of stuff shown. Anything else you want to talk about with our viewers, any kind of resources we want to share?
Yeah, definitely. There's some great resources out on the Azure documentation site for getting started with HD Insight, whether it's HD Insight on Linux or whether it's HD Insight on Windows or HBase or Storm. Got some great walkthrough articles. We'll include some of those resource links down at the bottom of the page that everyone's watching today's episode on so that you can click right through and step through those step-by-step tutorials and see just how easy it is to get started with HD Insight. Even if you have really limited Hadoop experience to date, you've been hearing a lot about it and you want to see what the big data buzz is all about, you'll find just how easy it is to get started.
Yeah, I mean, folks, if you're looking for a new branch in your career in IT, this is some of the easiest stuff to dive into. We've got so many tutorials out there. You can become that big data expert really quickly. Keith, always a pleasure. Great stuff today. Great having you on the show, and I look forward to the next ones.
Great. Thanks, Tommy. Pleasure to be here.